This is Jamal Ford Robinson, and you are listening to the Cherry Jam Podcast.
How's that?
Hello, and welcome to Cherry Jam, Series 5, Episode 15. Myself, Ed Price, Russ Brooks, and Lawrence Landry. Right, we are going to crack on, and we will be talking about the Bristol game over the weekend. Just a quick caveat as well to say, Loz's sound quality may change throughout the episode. We're hoping it will. He's just updating on Windows, which means he's even having to use his iPad. So if it's a bit tinny to start off with, that'll be why, because as we all know, his improvement on the sound quality is marked, I have to be honest, but since he's got these lovely new headphones with a Madonna-style microphone. If you imagine Lawrence as Madonna with pyramid boobies, just think of that. Anyway.
Natural pyramid boobies.
Yeah. on that beautiful image, we'll start. Gloucester went away to Bristol at the weekend, and I think unmitigated disaster is probably close to the mark, apart from we got a bonus point in a try bonus point. But let's be honest, it was absolutely dreadful till in the second half at best. There are very few redeeming features I can really point to. I'm going to let Loz and Russ just crack on. Russ, I know you yourself, same as me, we had to watch the highlights back separately. Loz, you were out, helpfully. So you're the same as us.
Watch any of it.
No, so let's just, we'll be honest and be 100% up front. None of us watched it live. We've kind of had to sort of grin and bear the highlights in inverted commas.
I think we're at this.
I have seen the tries. I saw them at
I saw the tries. I think that was enough looking at some of the effort for them. It feels like we're at the point though where you don't need to sit. We might as well, I think I've made this joke before, but we might as well just record a generic, Russ, what did you think of the game? Well, the defence was shit. Box kicking went to hell. We did a few things okay at times. Warm-up was really good, and we could just rinse and repeat that for the season because it's just...
Yeah. Let's just skip the game, to be honest, because there's literally no point. We were awful. Bristol were very good. Did we make Bristol look good? Probably. Did Bristol make us look awful? Probably. But at the same time, this is now the sixth defeat. Yeah, it is a sixth defeat in a row. It's difficult to keep count. And what?
It's the fourth shellacking as well. That's the worst.
It is, well, yeah.
That's
really,
the worst.
You know, isn't
it?
The points against are actually going up, which is really concerning. So what I thought would be a useful thing was just go through a couple of points. So the first point, more generally, would be around the players, and we've heard in the last couple of weeks there's been some rumblings of discontent within the camp. Now, if you take Lewis Ludlow's statement that's been released today as we speak, on the Monday, released about 25, 30 minutes ago, he's saying, no, we know we need to be better, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not blaming Lewis Ludlow particularly for the statement that's going to have gone through lots of marketing stuff to get released, but do the players need to park those issues with George Skivington? And let's just acknowledge they're not happy, but can we park them and at least try and buy into whatever the game plan might be? So that's the first question. Loz, I'll let you go first. Do we just think players, look, we understand you're not happy. Nothing's going to change in the short term. Shall we just crack on as we are?
I think it's a bit too idealistic, isn't it? To be honest. The trouble is, I find it very difficult to comment on this because it's purely rumour that, from what you're saying, there's been no concrete evidence of the case. I appreciate they're not playing particularly well, but why I question the rumour is the fact that we did get four tries on Saturday. They didn't give up. The performance at Exeter as well. That wasn't the performance of a side who are not playing for each other or the coach. They're just the way that we are being coached and the game plan is just not satisfactory at the moment.
There was sorry, Loz.
Well, yeah, so I just, there might be a few who are a little bit upset with what's going on in, you know, not particularly enamoured with the coaching setup. And if that's the case, then yeah, they do need to, we either need to turn around and say I'm not available for selection and find another club, or, as you said, park it, I think, because thankfully it doesn't appear to be the whole, all of them. But the trouble is we just don't know. And it's one of those things we're never really going to truly know unless we actually physically manage to get to speak to a player and they are 100% honest with us. We just won't know. I know there's no smoke without fire, but I just, some of it, I don't know. It's just, what am I trying to say about it?
It's depressing.
I'm on about with the principle behind what's happening with what you're saying about the dressing room and that.
Hmm.
I just think there's too much of a performance for it. When we've seen it before, when someone's clear, I think it was Redpath, clearly, and Dean Ryan, they clearly lost the dressing room, and we were properly getting hammered week in, week out. There was just nothing. Whereas what's happened, you know, the four tries this week, the performance against Exeter, the first 20 or 30 minutes against Bath, even, dare I say, or even the first 50 minutes against Bath, where there was plenty of passion, plenty of determination. I have to say, I really fancied us at half time against Bath, because of the effort that was being shown. But once Bath negated that, then they collapsed and fell apart. You'll obviously need to edit half of what I've said in that, because half it's silence, but I'm not 100% convinced that's the case, to be brutally honest with you.
Fair enough. I mean, just I think probably the there was some interesting comments from Steve Diamond and Warburton at the weekend during the coverage. I think was particularly they had mentioned the fact that we looked either ill prepared or the players are clearly not bought into what they were being told to do, which is again in kind of mirrors some of the stuff that we're hearing. And I say, you know, we have to be honest about it. Look, these aren't factual. This is rumor. This is third hand stuff. But you know, it's not when you think like a couple of years ago or even up until the beginning of this season, we never really heard anything negative coming out of the club from that point of view. Sorry, Russ. Yeah.
I think the thing that I find most telling about it all is, and I didn't hear this, but apparently in an interview, Ludlow said, we made a decision after the fourth try that we were going to get something from this game and we were going to go out and put the effort in. Now, two things spring to mind there. One, when the players have suddenly decided they're going to change the game plan because they've got nothing to lose. And let's be honest, I'm not saying they do that all the time because you can't. We know what will happen. But it's really telling that at the point where the game's gone and they've gone, right, we've got nothing to lose, let's just try something different. When the players have had that ability to do that, we started looking a lot better. You were saying to me, Ed, you know, it was at the 70th minute, we were on the verge of scoring a try, and then we're in the verge of at least coming away with two losing bonus points or having a sniff of stealing something. So that's interesting in that the players adapted and changed the way they were playing and suddenly they look better for it. So that, to me, backs up a bit of what Loz is saying. They are trying. They're interested to a degree. There are moments in that game where you have to think, what the hell are you doing? There was some very passive defence and things like that, that if you look at it in the right way, could be taken as a lack of effort. I think the fans have been very kind to the players lately, but what I find troubling is the the thing saying that only one of the players went round to thank the fans that travelled up to Bristol, which I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, so
but if
so
that's just, if that's true, that's not good enough, is it? Yeah, that's so not a good look.
That was what was said. I mean, again, look, I think you probably may not need to read too much into that.
No.
But let's be honest, if you sat in the freezing cold all afternoon and watched your team get hammered, the least you kind of expect at that point, after you spent, you know, best part of 100 quid, etc., is probably the players to at least do a slight nod to say, look, yeah, apologies, we're sorry, let's move on. So the second part of this trilogy of points to make is in relation to the owners and the board. Now, one of the legitimate criticisms, I suppose, that's come out over the last couple of weeks, particularly as the side has struggled, is being the lack of communication from Martin St. Quentin. Well, he never comments outside of a fans forum, and Alex Brown. After the game on Saturday, Alex Brown has then come out subsequently and written a statement. Again, not a huge amount of content there, but it was sort of acknowledging that supporters are unhappy. Do we think that's enough? Do we think that they need to do more, really, to be honest, to sort of satisfy the club? I mean, there's been a lot of talk this week about having a fans forum, for example. Russ, I'll start with you just to make sure with Loz's audio, et cetera. But Russ, you want to start on the fans forum?
If to me personally, it'd be a bit like shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic. They've the problems on the field at this point are not down to the owners or behind the scenes. Now, I might have something more to say if the owners could invent a time machine and go back and stop a certain presentation taking place, and maybe if they could change the decision they made. But at this point, that statement is pretty much what we all expected. It's a bit like what I feared. It basically says, we ain't going to sack him. We've got to say that there are good things doing and we're leaving no stone unturned. Which, to be honest, is exactly what you would want to be happening, isn't it? That's what I want, is them to be actually looking at what's going on and thinking, what can we do about it? The fact that they don't have any answers yet is a bit worrying, but I don't know what a fans forum is going to achieve other than someone might moan about the price of the beer, ask for the sound to be... do you know what I mean? It just becomes that thing again, doesn't it, where it gripes. And I think, and equally, it goes the other way. What I find weird is how suddenly, because the owners have said, don't worry, guys, trust the process, which is basically what they've said, which just makes me want to vomit in my mouth as a saying.
Yeah.
That there's suddenly loads of people going, yeah, let's get behind them. Nothing. To me, that statement has changed nothing. The worries, the concerns I have are still the same. We'll come on to the coaches. I think my thoughts on that are well clear. Are very clear, but I don't see what it achieves by having a fans forum at this point.
Lost any dissenting view there, or you kind of concur with Russ on that?
Yeah, it's insert generic sentence here, isn't it? A lot of it, I'm afraid. We were never going to hear much more from him. He wasn't about to turn around and say, well, the board have met and the results aren't good enough, and quite frankly, another defeat and he's on his out on his ass. It was never going to be happen, was it? We all know the club don't have any money, and they cut their cloth by that. They went for the cheap option by going down the route of getting someone like Skivington in over a more reputable coach anyway, and you pays your money, you take your chances, I suppose.
Yeah, so just on the sort of comment around the fans forum particularly, I get that whole thought process around some fans looking for it. You know, they want answers. The problem is that as Russ kind of commented there, You've got this. You'll end up with a weird mix of basically people just whinging and moaning about we need to win. Well, yeah, everyone knows we need to win, How do you win? I mean, that's fundamentally, that's the what we need to work out is, and really, let's be honest, we'll have an opinion, and I'm pretty confident that probably our thoughts and points around the style of play and the way we do things around defence and attack, for example, would probably be quite close to the mark. I'm not bigging us up. I think, you know, we've watched enough rugby between us to understand, we think we understand the game pretty well. But, you know, 20 people in a row saying to George Skivington, you need to win more, isn't really going to add anything. Or 15 people moaning about the pint of the price of beer, the fat in a pork roll and the crap sound system of the shed. Look, they know these things are going to, they're not going to change. But what it goes on to the next point really, which is what as fans and supporters, right? What are the legitimate, I would say rugby values, invert commas, ways of kind of making our voices felt? Because there's been, again, the other side of this, you know, people want a fans forum, they want to kind of voice their views. That's kind of a very rugby way of doing it, but there's probably not a lot of, there's not a lot that's going to come out of it. So the alternative is the football way. Now, I don't like this, but I'm just putting it out there because, say, this is the alternative. The alternative is for supporters to be quite vociferous in the ground during the games and be quite vocal about what they think. Now, do you think that that's acceptable in rugby? I've got to start with you, Loz. Is that an acceptable way of voicing displeasure, or is it just too football? We shouldn't be doing it.
The trouble is, how else are you meant to do it?
Yeah.
They need the board need to get and understand that it's not just a few vocal people on social media.
Nutters. I'm including myself in that, by the way.
Yeah, we've always classed you as a nutter.
So. Exactly.
But the trouble is it always gets classed with this. That's football. But how else do you let collectively know that there's complete and utter disagreement with what's going on? Not disagreement, but you know what I mean. Disdain almost for the way that things are going at the moment. Yeah, disdain, not disagree. Disdain for how things are going at the moment, short of booing everything. And the players will be upset. Oh, well, you know, we don't go out to lose. We know you don't go out to lose, but the fact is you are losing. It ain't good enough, and that's the way we're voicing our opinion. So I think whilst you've called it a football style thing, I think it's... perhaps all that we have left to be able to do, because a fans forum is an utter waste of time, because you're going to get the same old turn up. Half of them are going to be the super fans who can't see no wrong, even though we're absolutely apocalyptically bad. And the only fact that Newcastle are in the league is the reason why we are not in complete and utter embarrassment. And bearing in mind, let's not forget, this is the same Newcastle who have half the size of the squad of what we got, and we're running on a much smaller budget.
And their coach has
almost had a nervous breakdown on television giving his interview at the weekend as well. Yeah.
If they'd have had 10 minutes longer against us, they'd have beat us.
I don't even think they needed 10 minutes rest. Yeah. I think another 5 minutes.
If they'd had 10 minutes, they'd have beat us convincingly.
Well, yeah, they'd have got the bonus point, wouldn't they? But the point I'm trying to make is this is as weak and poor a Newcastle side as I have seen since they last got relegated, in fact, out of any of the teams. And we're not much better than that, but we are on paper. So the only answer is to actually go down the proverbial football route, I think, at this rate, because it's just not good enough. He's had enough chances. He's had enough time. I spoke on the podcast where I was... kept on turning around and saying, I don't really want to rip it up and start again. Oh, God, I can't rip it up bloody quick enough to start again at the moment now. I am completely committed now to we need a... not just changing the head coach. Every single one of them needs to go. We have so many injuries that something's got to be wrong with what our strength and conditioning department are doing as well, because the amount of injuries that we're suffering is ridiculous. And you can't all blame it on the pitch, because... some of the injuries we got, Newcastle, Yeah, it's not just that, but it's the fact that not everything is a knee or an ankle injury or a leg injury as well. We're long term injuries elsewhere.
My frustration, so I'll come on to the fans bit in a minute, but just to build on a point from us, the frustration I always get from people when they say, well, if you sack him, who are you going to bring in? Do you know what my honest answer is? That's not my problem. That's not my job. I'm not here to replace someone. I can see, it's not like, you know, if I got sacked from my job, they'd have to bring someone else in. You go through a process. You can't keep someone just because you don't know who you're going to replace them with. That's my thoughts on that. In terms of when they've said we can't afford to sack him, my worry is...
Well, the club haven't said that. We just know that's the case. No, but
my ethos around that, though, Noz, is can we afford to keep him? Because the way I'm getting now is we're coming up to contract renewal time, we're coming up to the time you sign new players. Who would want to come and sign for us at the moment? Who would want to come and join us? And then, no, the only way you get players to come and pay for you now is to pay them more money. So you're paying them more than they're worth. So then again, that dilutes the pool because we're signing one. We probably had to pay more for Mercer, for example. Not arguing he's a quality player, but then that dilutes it down. Keeping him, there are probably players, we've heard the rumours, there are players who probably are like, wow, I'm done, I ain't sticking around for this. And there will be players, we won't get into the Heineken Cup, the Champions Cup. The way it's going, it would feel like we would be the first club to not even get into the second tier European Cup. It wouldn't surprise me.
So that's an interesting point about contract renewals is one thing. One thing I would say actually about the contract renewals, we did have a significant number of contract renewals in the last 12 months. Now, you can argue, or it's possible that some of them might only be a year extensions. But realistically, most of them, if you're going to be contract renewals, they're going to be 2-3 years. They all happened last year, so a lot of them probably got one more year left to go. But the really good point, Russ, you make is around new players joining, because it's twofold. One, why would you want to join a team who are performing poorly? But secondly, and probably more importantly, is if you have a suspicion that George Skivington isn't going to be the coach by the beginning of next season, which is a very real possibility if we continue on this track, right? You don't know who you're signing for.
Yeah, exactly.
You're signing for potentially George Skivington, but probably not. But you don't know who the next person's going to be. Like, we don't know who the next person would be. So you're kind of it's really difficult for a player then to sort of go, right, I'm gonna sign for Gloucester on the promise of something that might happen, might not happen, won't happen, and will happen. You know, it's really difficult. This is livelihoods we're talking about. These aren't like, you know, football players.
And I don't think it's a secret that our squad is not up to it in terms of depth. We are lacking players in some positions, and they're not cheap positions that we're all set. Like, I think all of us, if you said to us in this group, we would all probably sell our souls for a really class tight end who are not cheap at the best of times. So this scenario is not lending itself to recruiting good players that are going to build the strength of the squad. London Irish have gone down the pan, so we can't sign their academy players on the cheap anymore to bolster the squad. So I just worry. In terms of with the fans, there are ways and means of protesting. Boo the box kicks. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing. You've got it. We've seen that before, haven't we? The amount of times when we used to make poor decisions, you'd hear the shed chant for a scrum. I don't think there's anything wrong with booing them at the end of the game. I get where, like the Ludlow statement, I get where some of that stuff is coming from. But those guys are adored by most of the fans. And sorry, boys, sometimes if it's not good enough, you're going to take your praise. You've got to take the criticism as well. And I don't feel certain player in particular not withstanding from another club who's decided to step back and have a rest. None of it is personal. I think what the criticisms are very valid. It's not aimed at players personally. It's about performance. And fans have the right to call out. If you're paying 38 quid to stand in the shed and you're not happy about the performance, and for that matter, any other place in the stadium, which is even more expensive, I think you have every right to let them know, sorry, guys, this is not good enough.
That's a really good point. I'll come back to you, Loz, around I phrased it around that sort of footballing tone and the fact that you get, there's a lot of that thrown around, right? And look, I do get it. I do genuinely get it. I've been, you know, I've watched enough football, and I was at Southampton last season to watch them play Wolves, and it was the most toxic atmosphere I've ever experienced in any sporting setting. It was horrible, and it really was horrible. And I don't necessarily think that's, it's not good, right? That's funny, but it's not a good place to be in. To give you a bit of chalk and cheese, I was down at Southampton at the weekend watching them play Cardiff City with a new manager, a winning side, all right, there in the Championship, which is very upsetting. But, you know, it's very, and it was a totally different atmosphere. It was a totally different feel to the club because fundamentally the fans got rid of the old manager. Right. And you know, if the fans hadn't have been so vocal, we could have been stuck with him for a couple more weeks. Probably the results weren't that good. I get that point around. It does feel kind of, it feels very weird talking about this sort of thing in a rugby setting. But as Rush make a really good point, it's expensive to go and watch the rugby now. You know, people are doing it. I mean, I'll be fully honest. I'm going to watch the rugby on a weekend, and I'm doing it because I've got a season ticket, and I'm kind of doing it because I want to see my friends, and I want to just, it's something that I always do. It's a routine now. There's little enjoyment at this point.
I'm probably going to the Northampton game, because I've had my arm twisted by a few mates who are coming, travelling up, and I won't get another chance to see them over Christmas. And I'll enjoy catching up with them. And I'm glad that there will probably be a lot of beer involved because I'm not with my son the next day, so I can do that. Because it's really hard. I'll be honest. I love Gloucester, and I hate saying this because I absolutely love going to watch them. And normally I absolutely hate missing games. I felt quite indifferent about the fact that I avoided the Bristol game this week because I had family commitments. So to be saying, oh, do you know what, I don't really want to pay to go to that game I feel horrible about even saying that. I know there will be lots of other people who will just be staying away at the moment.
Yeah, on that lot, I mean, Loz, you've kind of made that commitment a few years ago yourself. I can imagine it's been pretty easy really for you in that regard.
Yeah, I've missed it.
Yeah, and I think the
genuinely, thing is, I for the last couple of years prior to that, it had got a case of I was going because of who I was meeting up with. The fact it was not my father used to go, and he's given up his season ticket. He gave his season ticket up more from the fact that he found the cold and wet was getting too much to him as he was hit his mid-70s. He was finding that the weather wasn't really good enough for a good chunk of the year for him to go to justify paying the money, which is fair enough. So I don't, you know, I was spending time with him in a different environment than being around his house or him being around my house, which was quite nice. And I was meeting up with friends. And to be honest with you, my wife gets on with Keith's wife so well, and as families we get on. So we meet up and go for meals and drinks periodically throughout the year anyway now, without needing the rugby. So I was going through out of looking to meet people and not meet people, sorry, so, spend time with people that I know, and I haven't needed to do that anymore, and the rugby has just been dreadful as well, and I don't miss it at all at the moment. I miss the old days, don't get me wrong, when we were doing a lot better, and you could call me a fair weather supporter if you want, for the fact that I now don't miss it with how they are. But what I don't miss is the cost of it, and I don't miss how dreadful we are at playing at the moment, the dreadful game plan, the boring game plan. It's been better this season to an extent than last season, but not much, because we're still look nowhere near being anywhere remotely near what we all want us to be, and I just rather spend my money else on other things though.
And just to add to Loz's point, my reasons for staying away, like I said, young boy can't, you know, weekends are too, you know, I work in the week, I want to spend time with him. So I'm missing it purely because of family commitments. If I didn't have the family, I'd probably be going a lot more, which probably, I don't know, that says something about
There's no truth to the rumour that your boy's currently looking into ways of getting you a season ticket so he doesn't have to spend time with you.
He probably would if he could, yeah. But like my genuine point behind all that is I'd rather it was a harder choice. I would really wish that the club were doing well and I was missing it and I was having to find creative ways. At the moment, like Loz says, it's a really easy decision to not go. Even if they were losing, but playing well and it was good rugby, it's like Loz, the game plan is so hard to there's nothing about it excites me.
That's what I hate more than anything.
Sorry, Ed.
Yeah. Now, that's what it comes down to. I mean, you can accept defeat, right? We've been supporters long enough that we can accept defeat. We can accept being beaten by a better team. But when you're getting beaten by teams who I would argue are on par, or you could even look at some of the squads against ours, and you think actually, our squad probably, even though we've highlighted some of the issues, our squad's probably maybe better in some cases. I find it very, very difficult to defend it when it's just crap, like genuinely bad. And again, like Loz, you mentioned that being, people might criticise you as a fair weather fan. I certainly don't think that would be the case. And I think, you know, for those who know us all, we've all been sort of supporters in the really dark days of that latter amateur era, early professional era, where it was really, really poor. You know, the level of rugby we were playing was very poor. The quality of players we had was nowhere near some of the other teams.
I think it was 1989, 1990 was my first season ticket.
Yeah. So, you know, that was almost a peak, really, in the amateur era. And then we fell off a bit of a cliff because our best players kind of retired or left or whatever. And in those early professional days, you know, we were always in and around relegation. We had a few scares, and it was a different time. This is a different kettle of fish, though. I really struggle to see many positives, certainly from the weekend. I think I we'll touch
just
on.
Sorry to interrupt. Can I just interrupt and put this into perspective quite well? I think personally. Those times that we were referring to, the Tim Stimpson kick from West Hartlepool, which kept us up and things like that. Back then, we didn't mind. We really didn't, because we knew we didn't have a good enough team. This team that we have got, this squad we have on paper, whilst it might not be as strong as a Saracen squad, when we put our first team out, we can match near enough anyone in that league. And the fact that we are so piss poor, even with that first team out, to me, is what the problem is for me at the moment, why I'm so disconnected with that side. It's not through a lack of effort from the players. I'm not saying and I know I said they aren't good enough earlier, but they're not performing good enough. Be it coaching, game plan, whatever. But ultimately, that team should not be where it is in the league. No. It was a year or so ago, when Skivington got us? Skivington
fifth.
Finished sixth?
Yeah, we finished fifth.
And then the following season, Austin Healey was saying how we should have been a top four side. We haven't changed the squad wholesale. We don't do that anymore. We make a few changes here and there. So it's in essence that same team. And now when we were lucky not to finish bottom last season, we'll be lucky not to finish bottom this season, because quite frankly, I can't see us getting any better, whereas I wouldn't rule out Newcastle getting better, to be brutally honest with you. Where's our next victory coming from? Newcastle at home? That's the only thing I could turn around and say. And that's so disrespectful to Newcastle.
But that leads it on. It's a really good point, man. And I think you've hit the nail on the head around on several points there, really. I mean, it does lead on, which we'll cover off in the next part of the pod, around this weekend in Georgia, and a few sort of random other stuff that's happened around rugby. But just before we do that, I do really want to come back to that final point you made there, Loz. The players are clearly trying, but we all kind of are at the point now, we understand, look, it's the game plan. It's the game plan, it's the coaching, That is fundamentally the issue here. And the coaches have basically got 2 weeks now, 2-3 weeks to kind of sort it out from the league's point of view. And we'll talk about the European stuff now.
Hi, this is Mark Atkinson, and you're listening to the Cherry Jam podcast.
Right, we will be talking about the European stuff. So, this might be quite short and sharp and sweet, really, but Gloucester are playing Georgian Black Lions this weekend. A hell of a trip for those who are going, and congratulations to anyone who is, because you know we salute you with all our hearts, and because it's planes, trains, automobiles, and everything in between to get over to Tbilisi. Caucus is in December, not necessarily where you'd be wanting to watch rugby, but fair play. The one thing that Russ and I had a conversation yesterday about this, which was if Gloucester go over there and treat the competition and treat the opposition with contempt and disrespect, I can see us slipping up. We need to be treating this properly. There are two competitions realistically there's two main competitions every season that a club can win. You know, the cup competition is just a bonus. You know, it's a nice thing that if you win it, you win it. If you don't, you don't. It's all dependent on how you treat it. But the Challenge Cup or Champions Cup, depending on what you're in, and the league are the two competitions you can genuinely go for and try and win. We're not going to win the league. So why don't we go full bore? And I appreciate there are players. I think Rhys Samet's in Dubai or something this week, so he's not going to be playing. But but we really should be going out as hard as possible and getting a result on the board in Georgia. It's almost impossible to not qualify from the group because of the stupid system that they've introduced again. Go out there, win, get Claremont back at home next week. Great opportunity to put something out in front of the home fans. Russ, I'll start with you. If we do slip up, is that it? Is that curtains, or would you say, oh, it's a difficult place to go to and all the rest? Or, no. You know, what's no?
He I think my view's been very clear and consistent. I think along with Snowy, I think I've been the most vocal. He should have gone weeks ago. So if he loses this game, I don't think there's any turning back. My worry is we've done a lot of squad rotation already, and I'm not suggesting that Rhys Samet should play in a game like this, but we need to be tending a decent side out. That the fact that he's having a rest, well deserved, but it's a worrying sign of the way that this might unfold. It is not going to be an easy game to send young lads to over there. That is, you know, and I worry what they'll get out of it as well. You know, I'm all for resting players who need resting, but putting young guys out in a difficult situation is unnecessary. We have to win. We have to get a win. We need a win from somewhere. Under Skivs, I saw a stat the other day that terrified me. We've lost 6 games in a row, 3 times under him at different times. We cannot let runs like that start happening again. So for me, if we don't win this game, he's in serious trouble. And I do worry what it would do to the side if we don't take this seriously. Because as we said, Ed, the conditions could be horrible. Lads who don't know how to play in that thing. The Black Bulls just need to get a couple of points. The classic Loz thing, build a score, build a lead, put pressure on us. It's going to get a nasty, nasty place to try and do something, because I think there'll be a pretty hostile atmosphere there. So yeah, I'm quite worried about this game, which feels horrible to say.
Loz, what your thoughts on this, mate? Just again, should we? I've been pretty clear with my thoughts about it. Should we go full ball now? You know, there's nothing to really lose from that point of view. Would you try and say, look, we're going to rest some players and refocus from the league?
No, go for it.
Yeah.
We haven't got relegation. That's the ridiculousness of not having relegation. We might as well focus all our efforts on this competition than the Premiership Cup competition, which we're in the semi-final of. he decided to rotate players at the start of the season for no apparent reason. That didn't work. If you're going to rest a few players against that sort of style of team, or that quality of team, do it when you're playing them at home, not away. Yeah. Because they are going to be fired up in their own backyard. The physicality of a Georgian team, I can't imagine it being any less than immense, because that's just what their rugby is based on. So we need to be taking the big boys out there to make sure that we're not bullied too much up front. Gloucester team not bullied up front. Okay. But I don't think we've got anything to gain from resting players at the moment, I'm afraid, because our league form is so rubbish. Well, we've rested players in the past with the league game coming up. I had 30 points put on this. It doesn't mean jack with this club, with this coaching setup, I'm afraid. So they might as well just play what team they can. Resam it, yeah. I can kind of understand, giving him the week off. It's not the sort of fixture you really want him going out there for. They're not going to gain anything from him scoring 16 tries, are we? Especially when we have perfectly good enough wingers who can do a job out there. Johnny May hasn't played for however many weeks now. So he could come back in. A Rolls Royce player like Resam it. Nah, don't send him out there.
I agree.
Him and Santi Carreras up in Cottonwood and leave them to it, I'm definitely. But apart from that, I wouldn't be changing too much.
No. Just, funny enough, it's something that was raised, I've seen raised about these teams that target the league over European competition. So resting for the European competition, that means that you'll somehow get better in the league. There's absolutely no evidence at all that works. I mean, the best example of this, suppose, in the recent history is Northampton. Northampton have routinely finished bottom of Champions Cup groups and all the rest of it, and has absolutely no effect at all on how their league form goes. I mean, we saw it years and years ago. Bourgoin used to qualify for the Heineken Cup, not bother. And they'd end up in the bottom four or three of the league the following season because they couldn't quite, you know, they never had the money and the budget to do it. Just on the format, the benefit is if Gloucester do win, right? So if Gloucester beat, we get that win, which we hope and you should expect, let's be honest. You know, I know we kind of are, the pessimism is really pouring out of us at the moment around the Black Lions and how good they might be. But their average competition is National One level, all right? That's the level they're playing at, okay? So it's very difficult to judge them. And if you go on the World Cup, Georgia had a really appalling World Cup, way below what they were expecting. So, you know, that's the bulk of their squad these days, the Black Lions squad. So say we get the win, right? That's brilliant. We get an away win. We've got Claremont at home the following week, and then we've got Edinburgh away, who are at the moment very hit and miss, and then we've got Castres at home. Castres are your absolute archetypal French side, particularly in the Challenge Cup. They don't really care that much. They've never ever really cared. It's the final game of the thing. What team are they going to bring over, right? So you probably only need to win two games to qualify for the next round. So go out there, get the win in, and then see what points we can pick up. And you never know, it might spur on. The whole idea that we can get a couple of wins under our belt, go into that Northampton game with a bit of confidence back, with a bit more trust in the system and the players, that can only be a good thing. I think if we go out there and, you know, fold and struggle, as I said to Russ, I think I agree with him, really. It would be curtains, and I don't really see how George Gibbons could come back from that. So hopefully, from his point of view, he goes full and we get a win. Final thing this week, we'll touch on a couple of things, really. Number one is Owen Farrell, or our old favourite. Now, Owen Farrell has stepped away from international rugby for 2024, highlighting his mental health and his desire to spend more time with his family. And I think we can all, I'd like to think we'd all agree that that's actually quite a good and noble thing to do. He's a guy who's played pretty much consistently and almost non-stop for the last 6-7 years for England and Saracens.
Yes, he has the odd 4 or 5 week period.
A couple of weeks off, doesn't he? Yeah,
it's a school a few times, doesn't he, for a few weeks?
Yeah. I think that is absolutely the right thing to do. If his mental health is suffering and he needs to spend time with his family, that's a good idea. It's a good thing, right?
Agreed.
However, and I'm good. This is a bit of a caveat, and I'm trying to not sound like a dickhead here, but I did think some of the stuff, particularly I've read in the papers, has been borderline. Personal attacks on individuals is not okay. Criticizing someone's form and their ability to tackle properly is absolutely legitimate within the scope of sports journalism. There's a bit of a danger, I thought, Loz, that Farrell's being turned into a bit of a martyr. I don't know if you thought that as well.
Paid enough attention to what was going on that, to be honest with you. He was taking a step back due to mental health. I thought, well, if he's been, and there was that I heard on the radio, they were talking around about how, and they brought up what his father was saying about how it wasn't acceptable, about how they'd been hounding him, and I was just, I can't be bothered with this. I'm sorry if that's so horrible. No, but
this is the thing.
I thought if he needs to take a step back, he needs to take a step back. And then he's made that decision. Move on.
Yeah,
I think.
Let's enjoy the possibility. Sorry, Russ, but let's enjoy the possibility of having either George Ford, well, not so much George Ford, but talking about who Marcus Smith and Finn Smith, about which one of those is going to be backing up George Ford.
I agree. I'm quite a big advocate of mental health and awareness of it for various reasons, mainly because of what happened to my dad. So I'm quite savvy and aware of it. And I completely agree. If Owen Farrell feels he's genuinely not there mentally and it's causing him concern, he does need to step away. I also completely agree that criticism is a valid thing and it's part of sport, and we all, you know, I get called into the office if I'm told I'm not doing a good enough job and told to do better. That's one thing. Making it personal, yeah, completely agree. It does feel like the media have just blown it a bit out of all proportion, probably because they're being told that they were mean about it. For me, there are worse examples of people who are treated badly. Wayne Barnes springs to mind when you see some of the genuine abuse he got.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That's the latest thing today, Tom Foley.
That's what I was going to come on to, Loz. There are people who get legitimate awful abuse, and they're the men in the middle who you can't have a game without them. And it goes beyond valid criticism of them. I mean, we all sit here and go, the ref's got that one wrong. And I'd like to think we've never made it personal. But you go on Twitter and you read some of the comments and they're just horrendous.
Well, they're citing the what's happened in the World Cup finals being the issue. Now, there was a certain team who's got a coach who's known for inciting things on social media. And that's okay, they happen to go on to win, but I can't, and they haven't named names, but I'm pretty, not names, but what teams they're coming from. I'm pretty certain out of the two. Now, I'm not saying the All Blacks are Angels, but I'm pretty certain it's not them. Mm.
And this is the problem for me is, like, again, the coaches are the ones calling the press out on this, and the coaches can be just as bad. And you also have ex-players who, one of them used to cite mental health at our club quite a lot. And you see them doing it. And then you also see them use it as an excuse to get out of certain situations. And that's the problem.
What, like a contract?
Yeah, like a contract. Ironically, said player had a pop at a certain newspaper for saying things about him. But funny enough, he was all right when they paid him a wad of cash to serialise his autobiography. That's the sort of stuff I have a problem with, is it's when people use it as a crutch. Now, I must add, I don't think any of this is Owen Farrell's fault. He hasn't come out And it's not Owen Farrell who has said, people have said nasty things about me. He hasn't called out he hasn't said what he feels the criticism is. And he probably has had some pretty nasty stuff said about him. It's the hyperbole surrounding it I have an issue with. People getting defensive. And like Loz says, move on. The lad's made his decision. He's not my favourite player as a rugby player, but I fully respect how much effort he's put in. He's had a long career. He has the right to go, I'm walking away for a while.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's England's record point scorer, and has been captain for an inordinate long time, really, if you think about how long he's been captain for. He's not our favourite player because he plays for Saracens. I think if he played for Gloucester, we'd think he was God, probably. Exactly. You know, it's just the way these things work. But I think you're right there. The biggest issue here is it's the media being called out and then going, oh, no, it's not us, it's them. It's that media over there, not us, that media. So I think that's the problem, is that it's just a media story kind of circling back on itself. One other thing that's... kind of happened this week in around rugby as well. Our mate Bill Sweeney got a pay rise. Isn't that nice? You know, as another club goes to the wall. I think his position now is pretty much untenable. I don't quite understand how a man who's presided over such an absolute shower at the RFU for such a long time is getting a 16 grand pay rise. But you know, there we go. Again, not personal, Bill. We just think you're shit at your job. It's just ridiculous how when you look at the state of English rugby and you've got a bloke in charge who's getting a pay rise. Ridiculous. Anyway, the final thing to just mention this week, and it was great to see a proper, good old-fashioned, no messing around red card. And I don't know if you've seen this, boys. I'd really recommend you watch it. Women's rugby, Harlequins versus Saracens. The game is basically blown up. And one of the Harlequins players does a running headbutt. Absolutely wonderful. Bring it back to the old days. Proper red cards. None of this TMO nonsense. none of this, dipping... You know, could they have got lower? No, a flying headbutt. Love it. They could maybe started lower and gone up.
We're talking headbutt techers here, aren't we?
I'll be honest. I think it probably lost a little bit of the impact that they were in a head guard. So obviously that would have absorbed some of the force. This is very tongue-in-cheek, obviously. There is no place in rugby for flying headbutts, but it was just nice to see something a bit different as a red card. There was also a hell of a punch-up. Proper punches, I think, thrown between Scarlets and Cardiff. And then there was also almost a punch-up between Sale and Quins. It was, there's a few possible sightings there. Anything else you wanted to just touch on, guys, while I've got you there, around rugby more generally, or sports? Look, you know, rugby, it's awful, but all our football teams are winning. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, we can say it when Snowy's not on the pod.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
And Jim doesn't care. But yeah, incredibly, on a weekend where Leeds, Southampton and Liverpool all won, that was the only good thing.
We haven't touched on the women. They had another good win.
No, actually, a good win. You are right. Yeah, yeah, fantastic win. Really great away win away to Bristol.
Nil a much fancied Bristol side on their own patch.
In a really difficult conditions, really cold. You know, I think it was -3, -4 by the end of the game down there. Really, really cold. Yeah. And
a Gloucester team that goes away and does well. You know,
yeah, it does.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get the coaches doing double shifts and come to our first team for a bit.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it is a really good point, Loz, about how good they've been. And again, you know, there's an expectation now that they go away to these games and they're playing again this weekend, I should say, at home at the Al Pass against Sale. You'd fully expect, again, probably a bonus point win there.
Well, they're actually, all joking aside, they need it because obviously, that's top couple of teams are 100%, aren't they? And that whilst it's a great result, it's still a dropped point because it was only a 4-point win and not a 4-try win.
Yes.
But sorry, I don't mean to be take anything away from their achievement they've already in a league which, because of perhaps, isn't competitive all the way through. Maybe that, but this very the top four, top four and five places are going to be competitive in that league. At the end, that point could become quite relevant.
Yeah. Of course, the simple way around that is just winning every game.
Well, that's what we did last. That's what they've done last season, and that's what we can do with them doing again this season, isn't it?
Exactly. Right. I think we'll finish there, guys. We've managed to somehow manage to
finish on a positive note.
Yeah.